And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
That was good singing, D. Yeah, well, Bubba.
Great
that was
singing,
good
man.
Singing.
We were all over that bad boy. Podcast
horrible.
This week is sponsored by...
Someone's driving into a train.
Make it end it now.
The podcast is sponsored by LifeLock this week, and seriously, no one can protect all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock Ultimate Plus provides the most comprehensive identity theft protection. Go to LifeLock.com and use promo code BIGD, no spaces, B-I-G-D, for 10% off, and take advantage of that.
So we had a really cool thing happen. Being
super mega cool.
Yeah. In our world, there is, I know this sounds crazy, but there are magazines that cover the radio industry.
Yep.
And it has to do with, usually, for the one that we're talking about, it's called Radio Inc. And
it's more about the business side of radio.
So it's mainly for the suits. It's mainly for the general managers and the salespeople and that kind of owners and that kind of stuff. It's somewhat rare-ish to have a feature on air talent. And so that's why we were very honored to have this interview done from Ed on us and Ed Ryan, who's the
editor
of Radio Inc. And super, he's a great guy. He's been around. He's done radio for a long time. He's also bowed up. He's ripped up. He's a big boy.
Like he's a gym rat.
Yes. Anyway, he did
this
interview.
That's at all pertinent to this.
You're just adding to it.
Just adding to, so that people can.
Well, it'll make sense here in a second.
It's theater of the mind, Patrick.
So when Ed interviewed you guys for the cover of the special edition of Radio Inc. magazine for a country radio seminar, we recorded it so that we could play and kind of make it into the podcast.
Well, we thought it would be interesting because what do we do all the time? We interview people. We do a lot of things where we have famous people on, and it's just interesting to flip the tables now. Now you get to hear us be interviewed, and it's not even about our normal, like this has nothing to do with our personal lives. This is how we run our business and our philosophy on how we, you know, do radio and stuff, because we do know for some people, that is really fascinating. For others of you, we've got 90 billion other episodes of the podcast to hear, and there's lots of good, crazy stuff like that. But this is cool because we're going to answer a lot of questions that, first of all, you would have probably never thought to ask unless you were in our industry. So are we going to go ahead and just roll
Let
the
it
tape
roll.
Now?
Yeah, here we go.
All right, this is Ed Ryan from Radio Inc.
Ed Ryan, did you go lifting today?
I didn't go yet. I got too many calls in a row.
That's my excuse too.
You should be doing some lift. You have a whole dumbbell set up in the office. You just in between calls, knock out a set.
Too much sitting around. I'm got to get out of the chair every once in a while.
Yeah.
So how are you guys?
Doing good, man. How are you?
We're great.
Good, good. Doing great. Appreciate your time, and we're going to run this in the CRS issue, which is coming up, as you know. Are you guys going to be there?
Yeah, we will be.
For the first answer, so our transcriber knows who's who, if you could just say who's answering, that'd be great, and then she'll pick it up from there.
All right. No problem.
Great. So why don't you guys just kind of give us an update on how long you've been doing this show together now, and really how you got together?
This is Bubba talking, and we started the show December 16th, 1996 in Baton Rouge. Big D was already doing mornings, and I was doing afternoons, and his co-host got fired, and he came to me and said, hey, you want to do mornings? And,
he said no.
I did originally, but we got together, and we've been doing it ever since.
Now, 1996 is a few years ago. What is it about? How are you able to work together?
This is Dave talking. Bubba and I are not the same, but we have the same ideas of how to do radio. It's kind of the whole different paths to the top of the mountain routine. And so I think we've just gotten we don't hang out off the show much.
Rarely.
Very rarely. I think that is a big part of it. I think when you have guys who constantly hang out together, I think the show kind of, they don't bring stuff up to the show because they've already experienced it together, and so they just don't do it. But I don't know. I think we just, you know, we love radio. Radio to me is the best. Is the best medium out there, and still, and we are definitely not naysayers of the radio industry, and so we enjoy doing it, and it's fun. We got Patrick, who's a great addition to the show. He came on about 3 years after that we started, like that, and has been with us ever since.
So you started that first station in 1996. Talk a little bit about how it started to grow and syndicate.
This is Bubba again. We had worked in Baton Rouge for about 2 years before we were offered a opportunity to jump to the Crosstown competition after we'd beat them. And, you know, it was a little hesitation there because you never know if you're bigger than the station or if you're about to make the dumbest move of your life. And when we jumped over to the Crosstown, which was Capstar back then, pre-Clear Channel, pre-all the iHeart stuff, we got on and started doing the show. And within a year, we flipped the market again, and we were back on top. And they started talking to us about doing other markets. And so we did. We picked up a couple other Capstar markets originally. And then, of course, you had the Clear Channel thing kind of went, and we grew within the Clear Channel family until finally we had kind of outgrown that, and we ended up getting moved over to the Premier side, and then we grew it that way as well. And you know, ever since then, it's been pretty much growth, and then we finally decided to break off on our own and do it ourselves.
We've been syndicated for more than 16 years. We added our first affiliate December 7th of 1999. That's Big D talking. And just for a timeline for you.
Okay. So you've had to, I take it over the years, you've had to evolve the show to stay, you know, hip with the listeners and, you know, the competition that's coming at you, and now more syndicated shows are coming out. What have you done to keep yourself fresh and relevant?
This is Big D talking. The show changes. We evolve the show probably on a monthly basis. We've never been huge fans of doing one bit every day at the same time. We just never have. We never have.
I think that's old radio thinking. Yeah. And you know,
I think it's boring to the person who wakes up, because most people are on a routine and they do the same thing every day at the same time. But they don't want you doing the same thing every day at the same time. They want it to be something different. And so so we've never had like benchmarks, and I'm using the little air quotes, but they move around, and it really is, the show is very geared to the country audience. I mean, you hear people say, well, we are the audience. Man, I don't know that we could be more the audience. And so I think people feel like they have a voice, so to speak, not getting too cheesy, but you know, I really think that they can people relate to us tremendously.
Well, give a specific example of why you think your show is different.
You know, I think it's just the fact that it isn't the same thing every day. You have somebody in the car 25 minutes on average, 20 to 25 minutes, you know, when they're driving, you have their attention. And I think the fact that we challenge them every day, some days we may play a game. Some days we may have a really serious discussion. Some days we may have a doctor in taking plastic surgery calls and questions. Some days we may be just doing a prank calls. I mean, every single day is something a little different. So that unpredictableness, I think, is what sets us apart. Again, we're not doing Battle of the Roses every single day at the same time. And I think that you know, it keeps the listener engaged because when they get in, they never know what to expect.
When you flip in that first market, Baton Rouge, and you win there, at what point do you start to think, man, this we could be pretty big across the country?
Never.
This is, yeah. Never. Never.
Never think that. I think we are constantly humbled and wowed by the success of the show and launching into our own you know, radio people in general, artsy people in general are kind of a skittish crew. And so we were, I don't know that, I mean, we were confident, but there's definitely no cockiness. And so to say that, oh yeah, we knew this was going to be a success. Oh, absolutely not.
We also understand that success is fleeting and you never know how long it's going to be there. So we're just enjoying it as it comes. I mean, not many people get the opportunity to do what we're doing. And you know what? We're going to go in each and every day and be extremely excited to be able to do it.
What kind of advice would you give to young kids that are thinking they could do the same thing? This is probably a dumb question, but would you say it's worth all of the work and effort that you put into not only being syndicated the first time, but then on your own?
This is Big D talking. I would tell anyone who's thinking about getting into radio, go for it. You have one life. And if that's your dream, go for it. And it doesn't matter what it is. I can't stand radio people who go, I would say, don't do it. Run for your life. Don't learn from my mistakes. I hate that. Because that is what's partly what's hurt our industry. We need more and more cheerleaders for radio. Radio is amazing.
As we've talked about, and we bring it up on the show too. You have all the major players. You have Apple getting into audio. You have all these other companies. You know, Google. Everybody's trying to get into the dashboard. Well, what does that tell you? We are a viable industry, and we've lost our way. And so, if we can concentrate on continuing to develop new talent and bring them in, absolutely, we're going to tell them to go for it and live out their dreams because it's all right there in front of them. You just have to go out and grab it.
Yeah.
When the deal ended with the first syndicator, you know, a lot of talent would say, "Well, okay, that was a fun ride. I'll do whatever I'm going to do after radio, or maybe stick to a station." But you guys decided to take even a more risky step and do it on your own. Take us through that process. Why you thought?
To me, it was less risky doing this than staying where we were, because this we can control. This we have, and not control 100%, but we have way more to control. And the other world, you know, it's fine, and I don't want to knock it, but it's you can't control it. Someone else is making your decisions, and they're just telling you what to say, what to do, how to look, how to move. And if it goes great, they're going to get the accolades. If it doesn't, you're going to get blamed. And so moving off onto our own, it was so great because this is art. What we do is art. And you can't go into this thinking that it's not, because that's – back to what Bubba said, that's part of what problem with radio. We've got to entertain people. You can't out Pandora. You can't just play music and think that's going to work. People want to have entertainment, and they want personalities. And so we had so many affiliates who wanted the show when we left. My goodness, it was a real blessing for us.
We walked with basically every non-iHeart station that we were on.
Yeah. And
the only ones we lost were the ones that they took away from us. So it was overwhelming that they wanted to stick with us. And that to us was the greatest, most flattering thing ever. It truly was an honor to have them stay with us. Was like, really, this is you believing in us. Well, you're going to get more. You know, we're going to give you the absolute best we can.
Yeah. And so, you know, these other big morning shows, they're tied to companies that own stations. We aren't. And so we had, it was like 90%. What was our number? What was it percentage-wise, Patrick?
Not counting the Clear Channel stations, we left with 38 out of 40 affiliates that were non-Clear Channel at that time.
Yeah.
Now we have almost 70.
Yeah.
And out of 70 stations, I think we have 57 owners.
Yeah. And to me, that is radio. When you have the ability to, and we have friends, we text and call and email and Facebook owner operators and GMs every day. They're our friends. This isn't, it's almost like it's past business. It's a relationship. And we will go out of our way to help people. And that goes from, hey, can you help us with, we're trying to get, a connection with a label for a concert. Well, yeah, we'll do our best. We'll see what we can do. Make some phone calls. To, hey, man, because we're very super serving when it comes to localized things. That's something that comes back from our past of radio. So if there is a severe snowstorm going on maybe in the Northeast and they need special attention, well, we will send them special parts of the show that only they get, that only talks about what's going on there, and it's all done in real time. And it's the same thing going for like hurricanes in the Gulf or in Florida. Wildfires,
or earthquakes. Wildfires, you name it. Anything where you need to be hyper-local, that's when we want to be hyper-local.
Because if something really big like that is going on, if there's a hurricane going on and you're talking about anything other than that, you lost. So we make sure that we are local when definitely need to be. And of course, there's throughout the day when we're doing, you know, your traffic updates and weathers and that kind of stuff. But for the really big events, you can count on us making sure that you aren't sounding dumb in your market.
You mentioned the control part. Did you guys ever think maybe we should just do this online and charge for it?
No.
I think that...
Never thought, okay. Nope.
I think that option will come one day, but I don't think we're there as an industry yet, just as a show. I think... There are some people who are doing it very successfully, and kudos to them. I think we've really committed to radio. We believe in radio and the excitement of it, and we want to stick with it.
I mean, we had some almost 40 radio stations saying, "Hey, keep doing radio." So we weren't going to turn that down. Our situation was maybe a little bit different, but we're just really blessed, man.
And Peter at Compass has really been promoting you guys to us. And how's that relationship? How do you feel about how things are going with Peter and Compass?
One word: amazing. They're the absolute right people that came into our lives at the right time, and they have been just amazing partners. I can't say it enough how much I love Peter and the entire crew at Compass. Those guys go above and beyond. It's funny. They're kind of like the sales, marketing, affiliate relations version of us. They're hyper, excited to be a part of your station. You know, it's not just hey, we signed you to a deal and then move on to the next one. They continue to talk with general managers constantly and, relay feedback. So it's really a partnership. It's not indebted servitude of some kind of sort,
Yeah, and us and Peter couldn't be more opposite. I mean, my goodness. Here's a guy who was running Westwood One at one point.
Bloomberg.
He lives in New York City or right outside the city. And here we are, country guys who love to go hunting and, four-wheeling. And we fly airplanes. We're pilots, too, by the way. And when we got together to meet, it was kind of like
it was oil and water. It was pretty funny.
It was kind of like a kid looking. We're kind of looking at each other like we want to touch each other's nose. and we got to get past all the awkwardness, and then we were like, oh my gosh, even though we're so different, we're also so much alike because we care so much about what we do. And he needed us, we needed him, and it was like, boom, done, and it's been off to the races ever since.
That's great. What, in your opinion, guys, is going on in the country music format?
In what way? You're talking about music or just in general?
Yeah.
Music.
Good,
music.
Bad place. Where is it right now?
Musically, I think we're in a good place. It's, you know, it. There was a weird time for really the last couple of years where there was a little backlash on bro country. However, I hate to use that term. However, I do also think that it's settling down and there's a better variety now and a better representation of country. You still have some of those songs that are there, and that's fine because, you know what, that represents a part of the audience. While at the same time, you have the traditional artists still doing the traditional sound, your Chris Stapletons and all that. And you know what? That's fine. That represents a part of the audience. I think right now, today, we are probably about as diverse as the format has been in years. I think we're finally getting to a really good place. I think country's strong.
What would you like to see the industry do better?
Believe in itself.
Believe in itself is the number one thing that I agree, Bubba, that I wish that they would do. I wish they knew that their baby was super cute, and I wish they knew how great they really look in that dress.
We need to, yeah, exactly. You nailed it right there. We need to remind ourselves how sexy radio is. You know, we need to give ourselves a compliment and go, man, my butt looks good.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that enough. And if you don't believe it, your potential advertisers aren't going to believe it.
No, we tell ourselves and we tell.
That's Patrick, by the
thank
way.
You. We tell ourselves and we tell our employees and we tell our clients. I remember radio salespeople telling the clients, well, yeah, you know, radio's not great these days. What? Why would you do that? Why? If you say it, it's true. Yeah, if you believe that, then it's true.
If you go up to a girl that you're really wanting to get with and you say, I'm not really attractive, nor am I funny, and I don't have any redeeming qualities, she's not
going to
date you.
Yeah, she doesn't want to date you.
It's crazy.
And
why
that's what
would
we've been
people
doing
do that?
We've been doing that with advertisers, even on a national level. You have some of, you know, you've had people saying things like, well, you know, nobody really wants radio. And these are radio people saying that.
Yeah, that's the number one thing. And I wish that radio understood how great it is and we are and the impact that we have. And I wish that radio would get into the back into the entertainment business.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
not the we're playing more music, and you know that's fine. It's a balance. You know, we play music in the morning. We also talk, we entertain, we do all that. But it's a balance. You can't be too much one or the other. I think you got to have both. That music is entertainment. So, that's kind of we over answered that. I think
it would seem the country music industry recognizes the importance of radio just by what you see at the CRS.
Yeah,
the way the talent shows up and just mingles with everybody. You don't see that in any other format.
No, you know, country's really special, and it means it's the difference, and that's it's the people's format. It's the people's music, and that's why I say that we are our audience. We're the people too, and that's why people relate to us so much. It is a God, family, country, and. Mm-hmm. Concealed permits and
basically all things country.
How has digital and social media changed the way you guys do a show?
It hasn't. It hasn't changed the way the show is done. It has given us another voice, another way to get heard, even whenever we are off the air. We use it to accent what we're doing while we're on. But obviously off the air, it allows us to stay in touch and in contact and keep people kind of clued into what we're doing around the clock. And I think it allows for people to, you know, become more connected and more of a super fan. If somebody digs the show and they think it's cool and they follow us on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or whatever they may be doing, they feel like they're getting a little more than the other person who's not.
So you guys are regular users of everything with the listeners, with as much contact as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. We would be idiots not to be. I mean, this is it's another tool in the bag. And if we as an industry, again, going back to that, if we don't use it, we're shortchanging ourselves.
Yeah, we believe in doing all that stuff. I mean, we were filming a TV. We were asked to be on a scripted comedy series for CMT and with Billy Ray Cyrus.
Which one is that?
It's called
Still the King.
Still the King,
and it comes out in the summer.
Yeah, it comes out in the summer.
Cool.
And so we had three days of shooting last week, and it's just cool to be like we're on the set, we're on the trailer, and we're like, oh my God, like we have a trailer. This is ridiculous. And you know, so we're doing the podcast.
we actually taped our podcast on location.
On location from the trailer. We had the actors come on out, and you know, they're on the podcast with us, and
then through video and pictures and all that.
Periscope.
Yeah, we
you know, and so people are like, they're following, they're having that experience with us. So we're sharing things, and it's just like having a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week show. Because it's constantly on. We're constantly doing stuff.
And the same thing, like last night, I couldn't go to sleep right away, so I tweeted out, hey, what's on Netflix? Maybe I'll find something that can help put me to sleep. And, you know, people coming out of the woodworks, oh, here's what I watch when I'm trying to go to sleep, that kind of stuff.
And so then that carries over onto the show the next morning and talking about the shows, and then that gets into Making a Murderer and, you know, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And so it's all one big, giant ball of radio entertainment, and it goes 24/7.
But it has to be something that is...
That's Patrick right there.
Yeah. Yep. It has to be something
you don't
that
say
is...
You're supposed to say your name.
I'm sorry. It has to be something that is natural to your show or your station.
Sure.
Because, you know, when we first got websites 15 years ago, it was great to have something that when you're talking about something on the air, you have a place to send people to see the picture you were talking about or the link to whatever you were just talking about. But then it became about, oh, use your radio station to promote your website so we can make revenue off the website. And then it became forced.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're doing bits on the air or doing whole segments of the show or even a radio station that are evolved around sending people to the website to create web traffic. That's backwards.
Yeah.
That's not why you have a website. As a, you know, sure, the website can be revenue, but your radio show should be about your radio show.
Yeah, the radio show should come first. Believe it or not, you're a radio station. So,
and that's 99% of your income. It comes from
radio.
The big monster. And why would you go and spend all that effort, take away from the monster, and put it on something that is such a little return right now that, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. But that's not to say that there's not a place for it.
But
it's just at the time, they were having us do so. Oh my gosh.
It was
taking over the whole, it was taking over the station. Everything was completely geared to that.
You had program directors whose bonuses were built around web hits, not ratings, not revenue, web hits.
Yep.
You know, and now it's the same thing with social. But with social, it should be about, you know, continuing to do what you're comfortable with, which and involve your audience, like Bubba just said, not about, oh, how, like, we got to get X number of people so that we can, you know, meet our quota.
Because when you do it the right way, all that stuff comes.
It comes naturally.
Yeah, you get it all, and you'll get more of it. But when people are very savvy now online, and they can smell a setup, they can smell a commercial, they can smell it. And if you go off doing that, it's going to backfire.
So if you have, in the end, you still have to have good content on your show or on your radio station. And if you don't, then all that other stuff doesn't matter anyway.
Yep.
You can supplement your income with digital, 100%. You totally can. We believe in that. However, you have to decide which one you are first. Are you a digital company or are you a radio company? And, you know, if you're going to be a digital company, be the best one. But get out of radio. If you're going to be a radio company, be the best one.
Yes.
So the last question I have for you guys is, if there's general managers, market managers reading the magazine who will not be in Nashville, who are considering picking up a show that replaces whatever they have that might not be working, what would you say to them?
It's a big deal. I would say we give you great entertainment from radio guys who know and love radio. We connect with the audience more than anyone else, and we can also do all of the local. You're not going to lose your local stuff. We can do all the localisms that you want. We get so many people are like who show up at radio stations because they think that we're there because it sounds that local. So you get the best of both worlds. You get great national content that you maybe wouldn't be able to afford otherwise. but you don't lose your local edge either. And we're so over, what do you call it? We over-service so much that we want to do all that local stuff. We want to do a sales call. You got a client that you who's like, hey, let us get on the phone and talk to him. Let us talk to the sales staff.
You need a video? Okay,
you need a video cut. We put in a whole
happy birthday, Joey from the Feed Mart. You know, yeah, that kind of stuff. We do all that.
And when we made this facility, when we built it, when we laid out the plans for it, we put in a sound stage on one end of it, and it's a green screen, green floor, green wall painted, not screen, but green wall and green floor. We'll send you the pictures too. And a white infinity wall in the other half. And we do all customized videos for people. We do green screen stuff. We shoot all of our TV commercials. We have all of the best video gear, lighting equipment. So it's all done in-house. And when you need it, it's yours, and it's free. We don't charge these affiliates to do all this other stuff. And it turns out, and they're great. And so you get the whole package, and it's all done.
If somebody wants to wrap their van with the local, you know, Big D wearing the local west side of town high school hat, or you want me on the other side of the van wearing the sweatshirt from the local college. I mean, we do all that kind of stuff. So you get – it's really it's every bit as local as you want to invest into it. It's all you have to do is ask.
And it's independent. We're independent. That's the other thing I'd want to add is that you're not dealing with another big company. No names included there, but it's just you're dealing with guys that you can call and pick up the phone and or text, and you get us, and we're talking to you, and we won a CMA this year, and we won an ACM this year for National Air Personality Year, and those are great, but
they are pretty great.
They are pretty great, and they're pretty heavy and great, but it's great to be able to have the ability to do great content and have relationships with radio stations,
market managers, GMs.
It makes all the difference in the world. It takes radio back to where we all talk about the good old days. We're in it, man. We're living in the good old days. It's the best.
You guys are the best. It's always great to talk to you. I appreciate your time. I love the show, and I look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks.
Heck yeah.
Thanks, man.
Hey, you got to come see the studio when you're in town, Ed.
Yeah, you promised me right now, hold up your hand, promise that you're going to come by and see us.
I would love to. That'd be great. I'm bringing my daughter, too. She'd love it.
Yeah. Come on in. You'll see the whole facility. It's pretty sweet.
Great. Okay, guys. Thank you very much. I hope you like the story when it comes out, and I'll make sure you get extra copies.
Oh, thank you, man.
We're really excited. Thank you, man. Appreciate you doing this for us.
Take care. Bye. That was super, super cool. Thank you again, Ed Ryan.
Yeah, thank you.
Radio Inc. magazine. And again, the podcast brought to you by LifeLock. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock Ultimate Plus provides the most comprehensive identity theft protection. Go to LifeLock.com and use promo code BIGD for 10% off.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast. I'm sorry.